So as we've heard from Ruth chapter 3, this is a real life drama that has three scenes. There's a hard day's work, there's a disturbed night's rest, and maybe, Ruth is getting married in the morning. So we're talking about events now that aren't happening in a church or in a temple, but those everyday events where God is working out his purposes. God has in place his laws for poor people, and therefore Ruth is able to find food in the fields of Boaz. But it's hard work. And yet out of this backbreaking toil of harvesting, God is going to reap his harvest. And then God has his place in place, the laws for widows to receive support. And so during this night's rest, we find that there are these secret movements, there are these quiet conversations taking place. There's a hidden drama being unfolded, showing the way in which God moves in unseen ways. And then there's a life-changing decision to be made. Will Boaz take Ruth to be his wife? And so set in motion these generations that are going to lead to the birth of the Messiah. And there'll too be a decision for us to make today in terms of our response to whether we see God at work in our everyday activities, God's plan and God's provision being worked out in our lives. Well, the harvesting has started early at Bulking, where we live, and huge machinery has been stripping the barley and the wheat in the fields and loading up massive containers that then trundle off down the lane. And as they do so, they're driving past those small labourers' cottages that, of course, used to house the people who would toil day and night in those fields to bring in the harvest. And we know generations, certainly my grandparents' generations, were people who worked from sunrise to sunset. And that's the reality of life in many other parts of the world. People toil just to get by, just to find enough to eat for the day. And Pam and Peaboy will know many people, and Trini will in the Philippines, who are up at sunrise, who work and work and work and work, and at the end of the day they're just hoping to have enough to be able to eat until then the next day toil arises. So here we have, in, as it were, human sweat and toil, here we have in hand-to-mouth poverty and on dusty threshing floors, God at work. Moses was working out in the fields when God met him in a burning bush. We know the story of David. He too was out with the sheep in the fields when God met him through the prophet Samuel and said, you're going to be the king. Amos was gathering the figs from the trees, and God said, I want you to take a message to my people as a prophet. We know that Peter, James, and John were working in their boats as fishermen, and as they were working, they too had their call from Jesus: I will make you fishers of men. And so this morning we're seeing how in the common toil and daily tasks we find that God is making us his workmanship. And so for Ruth, there are three other very harsh realities that she is dealing with. Firstly, as a woman in her time, a woman without any other support other than her friendship with her mother-in-law. And so, in effect, Ruth is needing to rely on what seems to be charity. That is, she's allowed to go and pick up the leftovers in the fields. And then not only as a woman, but as a widow, and perhaps even more telling, as a childless widow, she was someone who was both looked down on and pitied by the society of her time. And then, as we'd seen earlier in this story, she's a foreigner. And even worse than a foreigner, she's come from an enemy of the people of Israel. And you'll see this book of Ruth time and time again either describes her as a foreigner, or particularly it says she was a Moabitess. That is, she came from Moab, an enemy of Israel. She would be despised for that. She would be hated for that. And yet, remarkably, in this book of Ruth, we find a woman who is finding hope. In all the hardships and all the challenges, in all the physical and emotional demands in her life, she's finding God's provision for her future. So let's move on from that day of hard toil, and let's contrast that to what's happening here in chapter 3. During the evening. So in contrast to the exhausting work of the day, we come into the evening with some coolness and a time for rest. However, as we were reminding the children, the God who we worship does not slumber nor sleep. God is continuing to work out his purpose. He needs to be able to orchestrate things so that Boaz and Ruth have the meeting that we read of here. And so it's necessary for Boaz to remain overnight on this threshing floor. Either because we're talking about the time of the judges when there were enemies who used to come in and destroy the crops of the people of Israel, or also because Boaz may well have lived in Jerusalem, some miles away from Bethlehem. And so just out of those realities of life, Boaz is here at night on this threshing floor. And then God continues to arrange things in quite a remarkable way. A surprising, and for Ruth, a rather embarrassing way, as a woman, as a foreigner, as a widow. She's advised by her mother-in-law to return to this place of work during the evening hours, a time when certainly respectable women wouldn't have been seen out and about. And so she has to accept both the possibility of ridicule, but also she's no way of knowing what the outcome of this is going to be. Here she is entering in to this area. Here she is looking out for where Boaz is sleeping. Here she is needing to quietly move around this area where there would have been many other people also sleeping. And she's to lie down at the feet of Boaz. And as she does so, she's to say that she wants him to take her under his protection. So that's what this verse means when it says about her asking for his cloak that was over his feet to be placed over her. It's saying, take me under your wing. And if you look back into chapter 2, you'll see the conversation that Boaz has already had with Ruth. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you've left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. Boaz is likening what Ruth has done to what Abraham was called by God to do, to leave his father and mother and homeland and follow where God was leading. Then Boaz says to her, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So Boaz sees the connection between this widow seeking to be under the wing of God's protection and seeing the way in which he is now being asked to be the means by which she is going to receive that protection at his hands. So coming quietly and secretly as she does during the night may just remind you of that time that Nicodemus came to Jesus. If you're prepared to approach Jesus at that sort of time and in that sort of way, it's clearly going to be about something important. And so for Nicodemus, you'll remember it resulted in him being told that he needed to be born again. He was seeking to understand how you could keep God's laws and yet also respond in kindness and faithfulness and gentleness to the needs of others. And that's what's happening throughout the story of Ruth. There are always these two things happening. That is, God has in place his law. God also has in place his people and the desire that we should respond to his law in loving kindness and in faithfulness. So just finally then we come to this cliffhanger. We come to this question of whether Ruth is getting married in the morning. And the central verse for us here in this chapter is verse 9. Boaz is awakened. He discovers that Ruth is lying at his feet. And his question is, who are you? And then she simply responds, I am your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer. So again, here she's looking at the way in which God had provided laws for his people. The way particularly in which widows could find some hope and some redemption. And there were these two ways in which that could be achieved. One was by the nearest relative of her deceased husband coming forward and being obliged there to take on the responsibility for Ruth. But you'll see the way this story unfolds, Boaz is not the nearest relative. But nevertheless, he can still be a redeemer, because there was a second way in which someone could receive the protection and the freedom that could be bestowed by someone else, and that was by the Redeemer. And so, of course, that brings us right into what we understand of our own salvation, for we have a Redeemer. And who are we? Who are you? Ruth could have said, I'm a woman. She could have said, I'm a widow. She could have said, I'm childless. She could have said, I'm a foreigner. She could have said, I'm an enemy of your people. But is that who she is? If you go back, as we've already done through this story, we find that Ruth, of course, is now obedient to the God of Israel. She's a convert. She's seeking to follow God's ways. And so in the simplicity in which she says, I am your servant, Ruth, Boaz sees that she truly is now under the protection of God. The fact that she knows about the Israelite practice of this garment, the fact that she knows about the kinsman redeemer, because she's been told those things by her mother-in-law, because she's not only heard them, but because she's prepared to put herself on the line. At this point, Boaz, according to the Jewish regulations, would have been entitled not to bless her, but literally to curse her. But what does he do? He says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter." This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. That is, he knew of Ruth's kindness to Naomi, and now he sees in what Ruth was doing an act of kindness in this request that she's making, that he would take her under his protection. And so at this time, these were very everyday events of life, and yet they're the events in which God is bringing together his rules, his regulation, his laws, his requirements. He's blending those in together in working out his plan and his purpose, so that through Boaz, Ruth is to find a redeemer. And that, for us, is that lovely picture of the way in which God has made a way for us. He has provided us with a redeemer. And so our final hymn is going to bring this together in an understanding that all that we have and all that we are and all that we will be is to be found in Christ alone.